Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Hanging out with you guys on the BetMGM Network. Femi Ebebefe. 40 minutes from now, we will be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader that saw the Chargers beat the Raiders and the Bucks. I guess they had to come from behind to beat the Houston Texans, but like that's not how the game kind of played out. Like, I get it. They had the game-winning drive, but Tampa was in control. Tampa gets the win nonetheless as they improved to 2-0 with two road wins against playoff teams. Sorry, not a playoff team in Atlanta, but at least a playoff team last night in the Houston Texans. So Nick will talk about the Monday Night Football doubleheader in 40 minutes. 20 minutes from now, we will break down the Heisman Trophy betting market as we head into week 4 of the college football season. Who's the favorite? Who's the bet that you should be considering heading into this weekend? We do have some interesting quarterback matchups in the Heisman Trophy market, which we will detail coming up in about 20 minutes. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, how we doing? How was the sleep last night? Were you up late for the entire Chargers-Raiders game here in Las Vegas?
I did manage to stay up for it the whole time. And here's why, honestly. Otherwise, I would have been in trouble. So my better half is under the weather. She is currently dealing with COVID. So she's a school teacher, but she hasn't been to work here the last couple of days, which means the alarm is going off at 7:30 a.m. rather than 5:30 a.m. And tell you, those 2 hours, big difference in terms of the sleep when you've got a Monday Night Football doubleheader.
Hey, there you go. You know, you took advantage of a situation that's obviously not ideal, but you know, hey, you're going to take advantage of it nonetheless. Absolutely love that. I try to live on East Coast schedule. So like, I can't say that I'm feeling how you guys feel just because it's still like 10 o'clock over here on the West Coast. But yeah, it was a late one. I'm usually like already asleep at like 9:15 p.m. On the West Coast. I'm not a guy that stays up all night, but had to stay up and watch the Raiders, who like somehow had like multiple chances to potentially cover the spread, but Geno Smith decided to take a sack on fourth down and also throw the ball away on fourth down. But it's neither here nor there.
That was New York Jets Geno Smith.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening. I don't know if the curse of Derek Carr came over him as the Raiders quarterback, or I don't know what was going on with Geno Smith, but it wasn't good last night. But like we said in the last segment, you get these every now and then from Geno, but you also get some good stuff, which makes Geno so polarizing. Because if you love Geno, you can just point to like the 2 to 3 really good games. If you don't like him, you can point to the games like last night. But then the truth is actually the rest of the games where he's just kind of like the 15th best quarterback in the league, as opposed to like a top 10 or a bottom 10 quarterback. But hey, that's what we get with Geno Smith. All right, let's get to the top stories that we have today on the docket. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, a piece of news, and we're waiting for the actual news on this one coming out of that Chargers-Raiders game, is the injury that Khalil Mack suffered in the game. Pretty gruesome arm injury. Really, his arm really pivoted the wrong way at the elbow. Now, a lot of internet doctors claim it's an elbow dislocation. He could be back sooner rather than later with a brace, but we have not heard anything if x-rays are negative. We don't know the status of Khalil Mack. We are waiting to hear from the Chargers. What's going on with that arm, Femi? Obviously, something we are all monitoring, a big part of that Chargers defense.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that Khalil Mack is still able to play at this high of a level at this stage of his career. Like, it's always, you kind of forget, like, oh, Khalil Mack, like, he should be washed at this point. No, he is not washed at all. Like, he's really good for this Chargers defense, and he's their best edge rusher. If you're going to miss your best edge rusher for any matter of time, it's going to be impactful. It's going to matter to your defense. Now, can they overcome it? Yes. They have a really smart defensive coordinator, and there's other really talented players on that defense, as we saw last night. But replacing Khalil Mack with Bud Dupree, that is a drop-off, and that's no shade towards Bud Dupree. It's more so praise towards Khalil Mack. Now, what makes it good for the Chargers, not the good that this happened, but what it kind of makes them in an advantageous situation as opposed to other teams that might deal with an injury like this, is that like their linebacking core is awesome. Like last night, Deion Henley, that dude was all over the field. Like, he was outstanding. And they don't even have Denzel Perriman back. I know he's on the IR, but he's going to come back next month. Like, you get Perriman back. Henley keeps playing like how he's playing. Derwin James looks like he's just a freaking monster on the field. Like, it almost feels like the Chargers last night were playing with 12 guys on defense. Like, that's how good they were on defense last night. And they were able to get to the quarterback. They were able to kind of keep everything in front. I joke about that drive that the Raiders had, their first drive of the second half, that took like 24 hours just to go ahead and get a field goal. But that was by design. The Chargers were saying, we're not going to let you get anything over the top. We're not going to let you beat us deep. And that's why Geno Smith was throwing the interception, because he was trying to force the ball. He's like, I want to push it down the field, as Geno always does. And he was throwing picks. Like, this defense makes life hell for the quarterback. And if they're going to play like this, even without Khalil Mack, like, this team can go places. And by places, I mean multiple rounds into the playoffs. Like, I think that they're going to win the division. I feel pretty confident saying that right now. And that's not to be like, I'm writing off Kansas City. You know how I feel about Kansas City. But like, the whole point of betting Kansas City to win the division yesterday was that I felt the Raiders could beat the Chargers. Now that the Chargers got this game, like, the rest of the schedule, very, very manageable. It will not shock me if we're talking about the 9-0, 10-0 Los Angeles Chargers, especially if they win on Sunday against Denver. Like, this team can reel off some wins, and I think that puts them in a very, very good spot to have a home playoff game, maybe multiple home playoff games. And if that's the case, we might be talking about the Chargers divisional Sunday, maybe even conference championship Sunday once we get into January. So this injury to Khalil Mack, as long as it's not a long-term season-ending injury and it's just maybe like short-term IR if needed, all right, they'll be fine. But if it's a big injury, yeah, you feel a little bit less good about the Chargers. But at this point, there's just so much to like that I don't even think this injury can derail what should be a really, really special season for the Bolts. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, the Cincinnati Bengals making moves today. They officially moved Joe Burrow to the IR. The corresponding move there, they elevate Brett Rippon off the practice squad, as now they turn to Jake Browning to be their QB1. But they also added some depth, adding two quarterbacks to their practice squad in the names of Mike White and Sean Clifford. So, Femi, what do you make of this Bengals' new quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, this is like the kind of the vote of confidence in Jake Browning, right? Because I know a lot of people, when they see the injury news to Joe Burrow, it's like, oh, they got to trade for Kirk Cousins. They got to trade for this other backup quarterback. They got to trade for Jameis Winston. It's like, no, we feel really good about Jake Browning. And let us not forget, back in 2023, Jake Browning did go 4-3 as a starter for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, that's a much different team. That team could actually play defense. Like, this team, as like last year, cannot play defense. So it's going to be a little bit trickier for Jake Browning. But I think on the offensive side of the ball, as long as he protects the football, they should still be able to be an efficient offense, because they have too many talented wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase, who's the best receiver for my money in the league, and then T. Higgins, who's probably the best number two wide receiver in the league. So like, they should be fine. But if things ever went poorly with Jake Browning, I mean, we've seen Mike White play. Now, there's only been like a couple of good games, and there've been bad games the rest of the way, but he has played in the regular season. Sean Clifford, I mean, that's just like, you need a guy in the room, you know? Like, I don't think you expect to see Sean Clifford out there on the field, but the Bengals are protecting themselves. They're building around this. Like, I think they'll be fine, relatively speaking, but ultimately, like, this team, I never really felt that we're going anywhere. I still feel the same way. Like, they're not going to be an embarrassment just because I think Browning is too good, but ultimately, like, we're seeing, looking at like a 7-10, 8-9 team, which they were probably going to do anyways with Joe Burrow. Like, they were losing when Burrow got hurt against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So as much as Burrow matters, I think we're going to still get to the same result, just maybe in a little bit of a different way with the Cincinnati Bengals in 2025. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Femi, a couple days ago, the Dallas Cowboys signed defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, and the Cowboys and Clowney now say they are planning on having him debut this Sunday against the Chicago Bears. Now, we know According to Jerry Jones, how important it is for the Cowboys to stop the run. They traded away some edge for Kenny Clark. Now they sign one of the good edge setters in the NFL in Jadeveon Clowney. So there you go, Femi, your new look defensive front for the Dallas Cowboys as they look to stop the mighty DeAndre Swift on Sunday.
Yeah, I love it. They just traded away some edge for Kenny Clark. I had to get Kenny Clark in there, guys. That's what we had to do. You know what? It's the Kenny Clark trade. That's what we're calling it down in Dallas. it's just so silly, this whole thing. But to Jerry's word, like, they are focused on stopping the run, and Clowney's good at that. Like, Clowney, we all had these expectations for him when he came into the league back in 2014 that, oh, like, he's going to be, like, the next, like, Julius Peppers, or he's going to be the next this guy and be, like, a 12, 15-sack guy. No, he's more like a 6-7-sack guy, but then, like, is awesome against the run. That's Jadeveon Clowney, which is still a really good player. It's not really, like, number one overall pick type player, but it's still a really good player. Anybody would take that. They're going to be able to stop the run better. That's gonna work out for them. I think for the Cowboys, they need as many bodies as possible who have had even a productive game in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. They need as many as possible to just be out there and to help this defense, because boy, is that defense stinky. It is not good whatsoever. And I think on Sunday, we're going to see a lot of fireworks. And like, the betting market expects that. That's why the total is all the way up to 50. There's even 50 and a halves in a couple places in the market. Like, everyone knows that there's going to be a point. You watch the Bears defense give up 52. You watch the Cowboys defense make Russell Wilson look like 2016 Russell Wilson when he was in the MVP conversation. Like, that's what's going to happen. So I would expect to see a lot of points. I lean towards Dallas, and I might get there with the Cowboys, because at the end of the day, with this game for me, and sometimes you get these games across the NFL, like, you think to yourself, all right, we got to pick 'em spread. What's my opinion? Who do I think's actually going to win? On one side, you got Dak Prescott. On the other side, you have Caleb Williams. Sometimes it's that simple. Like, in a pick 'em game, based on what we've seen through Caleb Williams through his career, and based on what we've seen from Dak Prescott in his career, Dak Prescott's the much better quarterback. So right now, I'm probably going to end up on the Cowboys. Let's see where this betting market goes. It's at pick 'em. I could see it going in a number of different directions, but I'll probably have a bet on Dallas by the time we get to kickoff. And in terms of the over, might not have gone high enough. Maybe over 50 still has some value there as well. But we got Clowney, and now the Cowboys can potentially stop the run. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, let's switch over to college football, because one of the stories of the college football season so far has been the struggles of Arch Manning. Now, Arch is completing just 55% of his passes. He's averaging less than 200 passing yards per game, and he's already thrown 3 interceptions. But Arch tells the media he knows he hasn't been great, and he needs to improve.
I think I just need to go out there and play my game. I know the type of athlete and type of player I am. Just go cut it loose and have some fun. Play ball.
It's not Eli Manning. That is Arch Manning, Femi. Is this a slow start for Arch, or is this an actual problem?
I mean, he does sound like Uncle Lee, right? That's what they call Eli. They call him Uncle Lee. At least that's what Marshall Manning was calling him in that little Sunday Night Football commercial with he and his dad, Peyton Manning. You know, Arch, I get it. Everybody had all the expectations for this guy, but there's no way to spin it right now. Like, he's just bad. Like, he is bad. All the numbers bear it out. Like, you look at QBR, which is a number that we reference quite a bit discussing the Heisman Trophy race and, like, those quarterbacks and how they stack up. In QBR right now, Arch Manning has a QBR of 49.6. That is good for 88th in the country. In fact, Arch Manning has a worse QBR than Nico Iamaliava. Like, it has not been good for Arch Manning through 3 games. Now, that doesn't mean that it is panic time for Texas, because Texas is loaded. That defense is awesome. That team is loaded. I still believe in Sark as a play caller. When you're outside the red zone, in the red zone, I don't know what the hell happens to his brain, but it's not working out. But like, Texas, as long as they don't just absolutely vomit all over themselves, they should still make the playoffs. Now, we're not going to really know if this team has improved until we see Red River in a few weeks in October. Like, then they take on Oklahoma and John Mateer. Then that'll be kind of a litmus test for this Longhorns team. But as bad as Arch was, they still did take Ohio State down to the wire in Columbus. So if Arch could just get like a little bit better and no longer be bad and maybe just be like average, I mean, this team is walking to the playoff because there's too many talented players. But Arch, all right, buddy, you're now on record. Let's see you go ahead and walk the walk as well as talk the talk coming up this Saturday against Sam Houston and beyond. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Femi, let's switch over to baseball because last night the Philadelphia Phillies beat the LA Dodgers 6-5 in Los Angeles in extra innings. That gave the Phillies their 90th win of the season, and that clinches the NL East division title for them. Phillies up 12 in the loss column thanks to the struggling New York Mets, and they clinched the division with almost 2 weeks remaining in the season.
Yeah, I think this is another chance where I can remind everybody that I did bet the Mets to win the World Series about a month ago. It has not gone well since making that bet. But on the Philadelphia side, like, the pitching staff is so ready to win a World Series. And that's what we've been saying about this team all season long. Now, the bats seem to be coming alive. I mean, you're getting Bryce Harper hitting bombs. Kyle Schwarber seems to hit a home run every single night. If this lineup could ever show up in October when it matters, because the last couple Octobers, we've seen them kind of just go cold, and all of a sudden that spreads throughout the clubhouse. If that lineup could show up, like, why can't this team win the NL? Like, I would like them against the Dodgers if this lineup could be counted on. I just don't think you can count on them. That's my problem. So as good as the Phillies have been in the month of August and in September, I can't get there. I still think at the end of the day, it's boring. It's probably just going to be the Dodgers. I think you needed the Mets to be much better. They've been terrible down the stretch. The Brewers, I'll believe it when I see it. I think the Dodgers are going to be the team because they're just so loaded. Otani's now pitching like deeper into games. They just have too much pedigree and too much talent to where I think they're going to go ahead and repeat as your NL winners and probably repeat as your World Series champions, because there's nobody in the American League that you can take seriously to actually win the World Series. There's some fun AL pennant bets, but to win the World Series, nah. not with your money am I making that bet. So Phillies, great. Dodgers, though, probably going to be your World Series champions once again. But we'll finalize all of our playoff bets in a couple of weeks at the end of the regular season. On the other side, we're doing the Heisman. We break down the market ahead of a pivotal weekend in college football next here on YBYB.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.